Wait, we all have to say it at the same time.
Yeah, so everyone, okay, ready?
Pineapple.
Three,
okay.
Wait, hold on. Are you ready?
Three, two, one.
Pineapple.
Okay, that should do it.
That's the go ahead.
So did we have a theme? Did we come up with anything?
We didn't actually agree on anything.
You guys said books.
Oh, yeah. I was researching books at work today.
Great use of your time.
I wasn't doing anything. Like, I just finished a new project and...
Oh, yeah?
Like, I don't have anything to commit to. They're deciding, like, which
branch
I
should commit. What are you working on? What kind of thing?
So, we have this thing where it's like a driving-based insurance. So, like, the company actually looks at, like, how consistent your driving is, how many, like, fast accelerations are hard braking. And we display that to the user in as like a graph, and now the graph is as generated as an image in the back end, which is pretty shitty. So what I did was I upgraded everything to like interactive JavaScript graphing.
Yes. What do you use for the graph?
This thing called HiCharts.
Oh, see.
Really? You
Yeah, I've been tinkering with that too.
Yo, it's cause so easy.
Like. Yo, it's so sick. You just like, oh, make chart. Yes. Chart made.
I know nothing about this.
kind of. Have you seen like those graphs where you can like do cool animation shit and like if you
have you seen like the Yahoo or the Google Finance stuff where you can drag and
yeah.
No.
That kind of stuff.
See, I think in this situation, I'm the one that employs you to make this kind of stuff for me.
You're the one that writes our
I'm the client
requirements.
Exactly.
I actually
would be though if I continue working in, you know, social media and stuff. I need those graphs for analytics. So
just use Google Analytics.
We're on opposite ends of the spectrum here.
Google Analytics is awesome. I've been working with that recently too, and it's so cool. It tracks everything. Every single thing you want to know about like your web service, right there.
Yeah.
What have you been working on?
Pretty much the same thing. Well, it's not really, but like basically, some people in my company, they're like, oh, we want to display some data as a chart to clients.
Yeah.
So then they had me work, like this one guy, like, so this whole company, they're a consulting company and basically they're like a water and soil, like, consulting company. So like, they get data or they look up data about how certain, other companies are, you know, destroying the environment or whatever, how they're affecting the water around them. And then they go and do all these tests and get this data and then they want to show it, right? Right now, everything they do is off of Excel and doing it manually, making these charts, right? They want me to show it on like a web app.
Yo, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But like, I get zero help, right? So everything I'm doing is basically on my own because nobody has any clue.
Yo, that's how I like it. I hate when people just like micromanage everything and just tell you exactly what to do and how to do it.
I guess, but like the thing is, like, they don't know what they want.
Oh yeah, that's
right. Because they don't have they haven't dealt with this kind of stuff before.
Right.
So it's kind of meh.
All right, so back to the theme, which we never started with. Have you guys ever read The Westing Game? The Westing Game.
No.
It's about the millionaire that dies in the mansion.
Is this a children's book?
Is that a clue?
Or which context are we speaking?
Yeah, it's a kid's book. I read it really? When I was like, it came out in 1979?
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, why am I guessing? Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It came out in 1979. And,
no, I've never read this book. Is this like Clue?
Yeah, basically. So the story is like this millionaire died, and then he brought together like the people that like were important in the in his life, and just kind of like managed to sell them all in like a room in the same condo.
Okay.
And then like he sets up like these like mysteries. He gotta solve these puzzles in order to be the one that inherits his fortune.
Oh man.
Except it's really kind of scary.
Do people kill each other?
Oh, somebody dies. A lot of people die in the book.
Oh. That's a nice
children's book.
I've noticed a lot of people die in kids' books. Like the series I was telling you guys about, Pendragon. Mm-hmm. Shit, a lot of people die in that book. Like every book, like a main character dies. And I don't know what kind of message that's sending to kids. But I turned out okay.
Sure. Questionable.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's different. I don't know. I feel like there's some kids that look for it though, you know? Like they do look for something that seems more real.
Mm-hmm.
As disturbing as that sounds. I don't know what else they're exposed to, but you know, if nobody dies in a situation where they should die, then they're like, well, that wasn't fun. Like, I feel like some kids just have a more real grasp on life than others. But it's the same with adults, too, right? I don't know. I tell people I feel like I overcompensate. I'm currently overcompensating for the skeptic and the cynic that I was when I was a teenager by having this stupid obsession with like magic and pink and unicorns. But
right now?
Yeah.
Really?
I am currently trying to overcompensate for my angsty adolescence by being a slightly more optimistic person. But
I remember you were really into giraffes at one point.
Oh, I still am. I love giraffes. I don't know why, but I think they're very peaceful. But unicorns are more fun.
Did you know giraffes, when they fight, like they hit each other with their necks. And it's very common for a giraffe to die in a fight.
Because they break their neck?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The more you know.
Giraffes are, you know why giraffes are wonderful though? Like they're one of the most awkward creatures ever. If you ever make them do anything but walk around and eat leaves from trees, they turn out to be the most awkward animals in the world. Like when giraffes run, they look crazy.
Have you seen a camel run?
Yeah.
No, I should watch this now.
All right, I'll look that up for you, man.
Camel running.
It's hilarious.
Oh, camel race. Let's watch this camel race.
But they're like, their legs and their humps go all over the place.
I can't remember why I saw this, but there's a video of, it was some weird TV show, and what they did was, they raced a camel and like a relay team of midgets.
What?
Yo, these camels are going everywhere.
Hold on.
They're trying to control them and just like, oh. No control.
That midget thing sounds offensive.
It's really not. Once you look at it, it's like.
Just saying.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I put it into the chat.
Oh my god.
Too damn funny.
What?
Oh my gosh.
This is.
I don't know who won. I think the camel won because it had like a neck advantage.
Oh, the internet's pretty weird.
No, this was on like MTV or something. This is like Punk'd Next.
Oh, that's
tomorrow.
True. That makes a lot
tomorrow
of sense.
Tomorrow, Punk'd.
Entertainment is a weird industry.
It's gotten a lot weirder. Like I haven't watched TV in a while, but then like a couple weeks ago, I looked up like the learning channels like the shows they have, and some of them are crazy.
Like what?
I'll look it up for you.
TLC really like
is not, mental?
Is not really good anymore.
What's TLC?
The Learning Channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a show called Little Couple.
Oh no.
It's a midget couple.
Oh my gosh.
There's a show called Sister Wives. Where like
oh, I've heard of that one.
He married like four sisters.
Okay, what? Okay.
Yeah, apparently that's the thing.
There's the hit TV show 19 Kids and Counting.
What?
I heard of that one as well. That's all from the Learning Channel?
Yep.
The more you learn about other people's lives, yo.
Oh,
Extreme
gosh.
Cougar Wives. Oh no, you can't be serious. There's a show on the Learning Channel called Breaking Amish. And the tagline is Brave New World.
Oh dear. I don't know, I feel like I might have seen a clip or something. Or so, that one might have been something else.
I remember, like, I honestly, I haven't watched TV in such a long time. But I remember my brother was telling me, you know those like filler sequences in between shows and stuff? I don't remember which channel this was, but he was telling me there's like a little thing, one of those filler sequences. I was like, puppies or babies? And it's literally just like video montage of puppies and babies, and then they're like, oh, which one's cuter?
What?
And it's have like, you guys seen Idiocracy?
Yeah, I watched that movie.
No?
It's about like in the future how society, like, they have a really interesting concept where like stupid people have more babies and like smart people usually only have like one or two, so then like the average IQ just keeps going down and down and down.
Yeah.
And then eventually like the Oscar picture for best movie was like just 2 hours of a butt.
What?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
It's pretty funny how like the only two smart people left is an army guy who was frozen and a stripper or a hooker.
Huh.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of scary though, like just the kind of shows that are on now like remind me of that movie.
Yeah.
You know what movie traumatized me when I was younger?
Which one?
I think it was called The Core.
I watched.
Yeah, you know why? It's why? Okay. I'm pretty sure The Core is the one where the center of the Earth screws up, right? And then they like, and then all like the magnetic fields and stuff screw up. Yeah. So then they venture in to try to fix it. So yeah. I remember I watched this in my next door neighbor's house when I was in grade 4 or 5, and the one scene that traumatized me, that ruined the movie for me, was when the birds started getting affected by the magnetic fields. So oh, yeah. There's the one scene where all these like birds just start crashing into glass buildings.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Like bam, and they just like slide down, and then it's just terrorizing some part of whatever town it was. And I was honestly traumatized. I was so upset, and that movie just like ruined it for me. So I am actually very, very scared of pigeons, but at the same time, when I see birds that have crashed into a glass building and have died on the sidewalk, I get really upset. Like, it happened at Glendon when our new glass building went up, and there were like 3 or 4 like sparrows, like little birds that fell and died, and I was extremely angry. Like, I was almost to the point where I was going to write a letter to the principal telling him how we had to fix this.
Yeah, you write that angry letter.
Cited The Core. Put sure. That in your citation.
I know, right?
But yeah, that was a movie that traumatized me.
When I was a kid, Jurassic Park came out, and like a couple or like 3 or 4 years later, the VCR came out, and my parents, they told me this like a few years ago. We were talking about like growing up in Korea, and they thought it'd be funny if they showed me Jurassic Park and Titanic. It's like a 3-year-old. And apparently I cried for like a week straight.
Oh no.
And I don't remember it. I think that's like one of those things I like blocked out from my memory because I have no idea that happened.
But, you watched it when you were 3?
Yeah.
Oh man. That's...
They thought it'd be funny.
I watched Titanic when I was also really young. I think like when I was in grade 2, I watched the Titanic. And this was also in Korea. Like, we were at my aunt's place, and she just played it, and then she went to bed, and my brother and I were just out watching the Titanic, but I don't think we had such an emotional reaction to it.
It's a pretty terrifying movie. Like, people die in that movie. The whole movie is based on, like, thousands of people dying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's always scary, right? When you see, like, just, like, a bunch of people just dying and it just looks so easy. Like, I remember when we watched 2012 and there was like a scene of a building just collapsing, and there, you can see like they put in all the detail into the movie, so you see a bunch of people like hanging off the balcony and stuff. Like, I think that's terrifying, where it's just mass death in one scene. You just have to knock over a building.
We're pretty desensitized to it.
Like, yeah.
There's so many disaster movies that, like, you see a meteor hit, like, a building, and you're just like, oh.
That's true. But I think I'm still a little sensitive to that. I don't like scary things, guys. And gore. I can't watch horror movies.
Yeah, I can't watch horror movies.
Was that... I can't remember if it was you or Carol, but we wanted to go watch a scary movie a while back, and like one of you like had like the biggest no reaction ever, and like you wouldn't even move in front of the theater.
That was probably Carol.
Sounds like what Carol would do.
Yeah, she's a bit more expressive in her, in what she likes and doesn't like. I just quietly walk away and not join you guys. But there's no way that I can watch a scary movie or horror flick.
What do you think is the scariest movie you've seen then?
Okay, honestly, here I literally remember 2 or 3 horror movies that I've had to sit through when I was in like middle school with like sleepovers with my friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. And those are literally the only horror movies. Like, from that point, all through high school and all through university up until this point, I've never had to sit through a horror movie. So I remember I actually watched Valentine, which is like a really old one.
Oh yeah.
And then I was there with them while they watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Amityville Horror, but I was under the covers for 90% of the movie, so I didn't actually watch it. But even when I watch like really well done short films on YouTube that is somewhat horror, I'm so scared.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I find that when you turn down the volume or just turn off the volume, then it's easier to watch.
I think part of the experience is the music.
Yeah. And yeah, like the sounds. Like, you know, there's always those sounds when like someone is like moving body parts, or when there's like blood dripping and it's like this excessive exaggerated sound of blood moving. Like, it's like that kind of stuff freaks me out.
What about you, Max? What's the scariest movie?
I rarely watch scary movies. If I have to avoid, like, if I can avoid them, I avoid them. So I don't even think, like, the last scary movie I actually sat through was like rewatching The Grudge. And that was in, like, first year.
I've never seen that movie.
Yeah.
American I've joked version? About it. I joke about American it all the time.
Version. The American version.
I put hair in front of my face and scare people with pictures, but I've never seen that movie.
Yeah. It's like, I think just, like, for me, I have a very, like, big knee-jerk reaction to yell every single time I'm scared. So if I do get scared, I just, like... shout really loudly. So
oh man,
really
well, that's good to know.
So it's either I talk a lot through that scary movie, or I sit quietly and then yell when I get scared. Yeah.
That's very good to know.
Yeah.
For when you come back.
Yes, Canada. Let's all watch scary movies and, you know.
Or we'll pull pranks. You'll never know.
Oh, there was one time, when I get scared, I you know, it's a very exaggerated, emotion. So, like, I was just at home by myself, and my dad comes home late, cause he has, like, a afternoon shift sometimes. So then, I was about to go to bed, and typically I just, like, when I go to the washroom, I turn the light off, and there's no lights on, right? So then I just walk into bed, cause I know where everything is, right? Mm-hmm. So then one night, my dad, he comes home, I don't hear anything. I close the washroom light, I walk out, and I just see this shadow figure. I was like, holy shit! And I just like went straight onto my stomach, just boom, flat. I was like, oh my god. And then he turns on the light, and I just quickly get up, I'm like, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. Nope. Yeah.
Are you easily frightened? Or sometimes. It's just like the knee-jerk reaction thing?
Yeah, sometimes.
So you're like a cat.
I guess.
Loud noises, you react physically.
Like, if I expect it, I might not react as much. But if I don't expect it, then, you know, I'll run
Max
for my life.
Max is a cat. I just have, like, I have an over-imaginative, my brain likes to just run with the imagination. So that's why I can't watch horror movies, because I will dream about it, right? It's not just something that I can watch and then it's over.
Yeah.
And I don't like that at all.
I feel the same way, except that's the reason why I really like horror movies.
Really?
Yeah, because it kind of stays with you. Like, it affects you for a long time, and yeah. I like that.
I don't.
Oh, do you remember the movie Van Helsing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I watched that in the theaters with my dad, and that night when I went home, I couldn't sleep. And it wasn't even a scary movie.
That's not a scary movie.
It wasn't a scary movie, I know.
I know,
it wasn't a scary movie, but, like, I was still, like, pretty, like, I couldn't sleep. I, like, woke up, I was sweating, I was like, oh my gosh.
Werewolves
and vampires and shit. Ugh.
Van Helsing was pretty recent.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
It was 2005.
Maybe 5 years ago?
2005, man.
Oh, shit, really? 2004?
Yeah, see?
Wow.
It's been a while.
My brother was born in 2004.
No, don't say that.
Making you feel old every single day, man.
You know what, Kevin? I just think you're actually just 10 years old at heart.
I am.
Forever.
I've been 10 years old for like the past 20 years.
Wait, so when you were like 4 years old, you just knew?
Yep.
You just knew that you were 10.
I was very mature for my age.
Yeah. Nice.
I was doing grade 2 math in kindergarten.
Damn.
Sarah,
Yeah.
You lived a while before moving, right? At your old place? Near our neighborhood.
Yeah.
When you moved, did you ever, like, go to bed and wake up and then not remember, like, where you are? You think, I got that a lot when I moved to Oakville. Like, I would wake up at, like, 3 a.m. Like, something would wake me up and then I'd, like, have no idea where I am.
Nope.
Really?
I just think the house, maybe the house is possessed, Kevin.
No, it happens everywhere. Like, I move around a lot because
maybe that's why.
Waterloo.
You're
or
just
Oakville.
Permanently disoriented.
I have no idea where I am sometimes.
I never wake up in the middle of the night. Like, really? I sleep through everything and anything, so...
That's
I just wake up, I see my pink walls, and I just get really sad because I don't want to be here. I don't like living here, but... So yeah, unfortunately, I don't ever feel disoriented.
Did your room get smaller? Or did it, like, stay the same.
My room got significantly smaller.
Yeah.
And also, when I was at my old place, I had my room, but I also had, like, the basement space.
Yeah.
So I don't have either of those things. I have, like, maybe a third of, well, I don't know, two-thirds of my old room and no basement space. So I have a lot of crap still yet to be organized because I have no idea where I'm supposed to put it.
It's been a while since you moved in.
Yeah. And you know what? We actually went out for dinner today with my family and came back and my mom was trying to open the door. She couldn't unlock the door. She couldn't figure out which way the key was supposed to go. I'm like, Mom, we've been here since October. I don't know. I think all of us are still adjusting to this house in different ways.
My parents recently got, they got an alarm system installed. And whenever you leave the house, you're supposed to, like, arm the system. And then when you come back in, you have to kind of put in, like, a password to get back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except they never told me my password. And they never told me they put in a system.
Oh, man.
So I came back one weekend and, like, I opened the door and then I was like, beep, 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 alarm. Like, input your password. And I was like, oh, fuck, what the fuck do I do? So I just, I closed the door and I ran away.
Wait, so what happened?
Someone was home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but what happens when someone tries to break in? Like, does the alarm contact anyone?
The police.
Okay. Okay.
Is it
yeah?
ADT commercials? Or, like, they call the police and they call you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's overkill. We live in Oakville.
Well, you never know.
Well, yeah, you never know. I don't know. I remember when I worked in retail, there was always the alarm system. And, apparently, overnight, I think it was one of the weekend overnights, so, like, the store closed early, and then it was opening later the next day. Anyways, one of the bags on display fell and triggered the system.
Oh.
So then they it alerted, I think, the police and the manager that lived closest to the mall. So they went over. They thought someone broke in, but it was just a bag that fell over. Like, that would suck.
We should get a system for this place. Our sketchy-ass Waterloo
house. Yo, I don't even... Just don't put valuables.
Yeah, I hide them all in my closet.
You should, like, lock it up.
Yeah. It's okay, though. Like, Waterloo's relatively safe, I think.
Yeah. Leicester is, like, pretty sketchy, but, I mean... Yeah. It looks sketchy at night, but I mean, it I think it's okay. Oh, but one time I was coming home at night, and I was just walking back, and all of a sudden I see like crowds of brown people everywhere on the street, and there were police too, and they were all like coming from, or like they were all from this one place, and I,
Oh, and wait, I think I was with you.
No. I was by myself.
Oh, is that different?
Yeah, no, it was a different... I don't think that ever happened with me or and you at the same time. But, like, I talked to a friend, and turns out he was at that party that was going down before the police showed up, and apparently there was, like, some brown beef that stemmed from Toronto.
Sounds delicious.
Yes, and then so like two rival groups showed up at the same time, and then they started causing trouble, and police got called. Yeah, was like the sketchiest so far that I've seen on that street.
I saw something similar at a UWP.
Oh yeah,
there was a bunch of brown people just standing outside with cops, and a party got busted.
Yeah.
I've never witnessed anything like this. I live such a sheltered and happy life.
I know. Yeah, and you're in Malvern, too. I mean, you're bound to see something.
Well, you know, we'll see. Have I told you about my my academic advisor who likes to make fun of me all the time about it? Every time he looks at me, he just like knowing smile. He's like, "Oh, how is Malvern?" He's making fun of me. Like the first time I told him that we were moving, he laughed at my face, and then he said he told me a story about his ex-wife that lived there, and like 6 years ago there was a shooting at a barber shop behind the mall, and you know they just walked by and the barber was just shot a couple times in his chest, and he was just there like bleeding, and he made it sound so graphic too. And then he just like laughed at me, and he's like, "Oh, good luck." Like, thanks, man. You're so encouraging, the academic advisor, you. But I haven't seen anything yet. I still feel relatively safe.
Yeah. Back to children's books.
Yes, children's books.
You know what I really like about like growing up in our generation? We grew up at like pretty much exactly the same time that Harry Potter grew up. So yeah, we were much. In like the perfect audience for that. Like when we were 6 years old, Harry was 6 years old.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. I've read every single Harry Potter book. I've watched every Harry Potter movie. And there's no really big Harry Potter of this generation.
There's Twilight and Hunger Games, unfortunately.
How old are the people in Hunger Games?
In the first book, I think they're 15.
Yeah, they're supposed to be in their teens.
But, like, Harry was, like, really, really young.
He was 11.
Yeah, 11.
Yeah. But see, I missed it, though. I missed that timing, because even though we were the same age, my parents wouldn't let me read Harry Potter until grade 6, when we had class together, Kevin.
Mr. Shim.
Yeah, and that Mr. Shim was like, "For education, we must read the first three Harry Potter books." My parents were like, "Okay, fine, if it's for education, you can read those magical fantasy books." So, I didn't get to read along with the timing.
How old were we in grade 6? If we were, like, 18 in grade 12... then we would have been 12 in grade 6?
I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, so yeah. That's pretty close.
That is pretty close. Well, I guess I didn't completely miss it. I remember, but like... So we... Okay, yeah. Yeah. If I started that way, yeah, then I guess I didn't miss out. But like, those books came out before when we were like in grade 2, right?
Really?
Yeah.
I remember getting... the first book read to me in like grade 4, I think.
Yeah. Something and a lot of the kids had already read the books by the time we were in Mr. Shim's class. But,
Alright, so Harry Potter and the
Falafel Stone.
Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone came out in 2001.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, no, sorry, 1997.
What?
Yeah. It came out in 1997.
Yeah. So we were 4?
Yeah. And The Chamber of Secrets came out in 1998. Really? So there must have been a gap somewhere then.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3. Well, between Goblet of Fire and Order of the Phoenix, there was a 3-year, then 2-year, and then that. And then when they were still making movies, when they started making movies, she pretty much finished the last book, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I for some reason I was... No, you know what, it's probably because we were reading Harry Potter and Mr. Shim probably made us like write up a report or something about the author. But I remember seeing a photo of the her manuscript for the seventh book, and they were reporting about how it was finished and it was all locked up, and that was when we were in grade six. So I think it was just marketing, just like strategy for the main part.
Yeah.
For those books, but I remember in grade 12 I took a creative writing course, and Ms. Schwartz said a really interesting thing, where she's like, "You can really just tell when they stopped editing her content because the first three books were so like compact and short, but then from the fourth one on, they just exploded." And
yeah.
They weigh a ton.
They're huge.
Really? When did the movie start coming out then? Because I thought they came out like 2002.
Yeah, the movie started coming out in 2000.
I have the first two movies. Let me see. When did they come out?
First one was 2001.
Yeah.
And during that time, Daniel Radcliffe was 24 now. So then 13 years ago he would have been 11.
Yeah.
So they casted right for the characters, right? It's just they had a huge lag between the third and fourth movies. So that's when he aged, and all of a sudden he looks super old to be playing a 14, 15 year old. But I remember Mr. Shim just kept talking about that. He was like, "Oh yeah, they're only contracted to make the first three movies, and then they agreed to make the rest of them." He made a huge deal about it.
I remember getting introduced to Harry Potter pretty early, and during that time, like, my English was still not that great, and I used to call J.K. Rowling J.K. Bowling. So every time I hear J.K. Rowling now, my mind just goes to bowling.
Interesting associations.
J.K. Bowling.
Wait, when did you come to Canada?
1999.
Oh, word.
Oh. So you came 2 years after I did.
You came in 1997?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I know how to math.
Good job.
Max, were you born here?
No, I was, I came in 99 too.
Really?
Yeah, then like near around in December.
I came in June.
Yeah.
I came in December.
Max, do you still remember your gangster phase?
Gangster phase? Somewhat, sort of.
I remember when I first met you, you were like the really gangster.
Everyone says that.
Jordans.
Oh yeah, okay.
You're bawling for like a 15-year-old.
Big t-shirts for no reason. Yeah. I don't know, everyone said that, but like I didn't feel it. But I mean, then again, when you're living the lifestyle, you never really tell. I speak like I have the most experience, but no.
Thug life.
It chose me.
You. Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of boys went through that phase, though, right? Like my brother went through that phase for a very long time. Yeah. And then I bought him a cardigan and he stopped.
And then he started trying to look.
Well, now he's a complete, he's a total hipster.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay, so my brother wears these glasses, right? And they look like, just from afar, you would assume they're like Ray-Bans or something. And if you look closer, the shape of them is slightly different. They look a little bit more nerdy. But what just tops it off is that on the side of the glasses and on the front, so you know where like on Ray-Bans there's like that little silver plating on the front?
Yep.
Yeah. And then, so on the front, there's a a division sign and a minus sign, and then on the sides there's a multiplication sign and a plus sign.
Why? Why?
Why?
I have no idea. But I never noticed. And then I was having lunch with my brothers the other day, and my youngest brother was like, he's like, you know, have you ever noticed that before? I'm like, what are you talking about? And you just look closely, and it's I just like, I can't, I couldn't. I'm like, Dan, why do you have those? Why did you buy them? But he's, I think he's just that much of a hipster.
Mr. Dan Deasy.
Dan Deasy, spinning on the ones and twos.
Have you guys found a good opening track?
No.
Oh, I was listening to Mr. Dan Deasy's tracks today. Some of them are pretty good. Some of them are, well, I mean, you know, for someone who, I guess, just started up and coming. But then, like, I hear some of these tracks with some people trying to freestyle on them. And then it just made me, like, die a little inside. Because they have, like, zero sense of, you know, rhythm and meter, you know. And it was just so bad. I just want to, like, stab my ears.
I've heard, I remember when he was, you know, in the last year, he told me about, he sampled something and then he made a, you know, a track out of it. And then someone from, like, Texas contacted him about using it for one of his music rap things.
Yeah.
So he was like super excited about that kind of collaboration because it was like someone from Toronto and someone from Texas. But
you should sell the beats, yeah. You should tell him to like sell them.
Oh well, I tell him, right? Because there's a huge market for even YouTubers, people, anyone who makes content, really, podcasts, videos, anyone. But he's like, no, I don't want to do that yet. So like I had a friend who makes videos, and he actually goes to school for film, and he asked me, he's like, yeah, where do you get your music? Like, can I, does this person have a portfolio that we could license and use? So I've told my brother definitely, but he still doesn't want to do that yet. So we'll see. I guess it's like one of those things when you first start making like content and you don't want your real friends to know what you're up to. So, I guess it's like that.
I guess. Doesn't his friend, I'm pretty sure his friends know that he does that.
I have no idea.
Was there a period in time where we didn't know about Sonic Fire 3000? But it was happening?
I don't know. Maybe? I think, yeah, I think, like, when I first started putting videos out, like, I didn't want to tell anybody, so I just kind of put it up. And then, oh, okay, so, like, I don't know how, but I found that this, like, community of people called iPower, I don't know if you know Athene, right? Athene, greatest pally in the world, that guy.
Wait, me?
No, Athene. Yeah, Kevin.
No, what is he?
You don't know Athene? Athene. He always goes Athene. You know?
No.
Oh, okay, whatever. Well, like, hey, the people that were like making his videos, one of them is a pale ass white guy. He does like this gangster impression called Furious. But anyways,
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I know him. Yeah, do you know him? Like, have you talked to him before? Like, cause like I actually like talked to this guy once because
really?
Yeah, cause I got into or like I kind of talked with these people. Called iPower because they started this community called iPower and it's all about like self improvement or whatever, and there were all these like cool people who like made videos or like not getting too many views or anything, but it was just like for this like small community. And then I ended up posting some videos, and some of those videos were like about like some topics that were actually on that forum, and like it was like over the summer kind of thing, and then I wasn't doing anything in the summer, so I spent my days on vent talking to some of these people, and it was just like, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So this was when?
Early beginnings. Let me check when I first posted videos.
I'm watching your first one right now.
Oh my goodness.
Doritos are tasty.
Doritos are tasty. No, that wasn't. I don't think that was one. That wasn't my first one.
It's the first one on your.
That's not unlisted.
Oh, so we have some hidden.
So I decided to make everything unlisted, pretty much. And I was like, this stuff is kind of embarrassing. But the first one was January 29th, 2009. Oh, and man. It was a video in response to Pogo Bat, if you remember that guy. Because I remember watching his video about, solving a Rubik's Cube. And then I got to following him a little bit, and then he put out a video about how to make videos. So then I kind of did that. It was really hyper. It was like a Fred, but Chinese. that was essentially that video.
A Chinese Fred.
Chinese Fred.
I kind of really want to see it now.
Lol. Okay.
The beginnings of Sonic Fire 3000. Oh man.
What was your first video, Sarah?
My first video. I probably do not have that on my channel anymore. I have no idea what my first video was. I know I made some in high school. The summer after we graduated high school, because I was running with this idea about having this YouTube channel to stay connected with you guys, basically, because I knew all of my closest high school friends were going to different places.
We were gonna do that thing where each of us makes a video every once a day.
Yeah, like a collaboration channel. But then I don't see it on my channel anymore, so I guess I deleted it. But
hey, I see one I'm in. 1 year ago, skating at Nathan Phillips' skate.
Yeah, that one I filmed with my phone.
I remember I watched that, and I was looking for myself, and I don't appear once in that video.
Really?
Yep, not once. I even scanned the background for myself, I can't find me.
Really?
I think it's because, who did we go with? We went with, Mark and Danny.
Yeah, you know what, Kevin, though? That's partially your fault. You kind of ran off and did your own thing.
I didn't run off. I was having such a hard time skating. I couldn't keep up.
Really?
Yeah, I was, I remember I was, my feet were hurting. I was falling all over the place. And, I was cold.
So you were like an awkward giraffe.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was under the impression that you were one of the better skaters, but...
Yeah, because we went with, Mark didn't know how to ski, right? Or skate?
No, I don't think so. Sahil and Danny were, the experts, and I was trying to recover some muscle memory, because I used to skate a lot when I was a child, but I hadn't skated in, 10 years.
Me too. And then, I realized that I completely forgot how to skate.
I didn't end up going skating this year. I thought about it a bunch of times, but I never ended up doing it. But yeah.
I think by this point, I've had so many bad experiences with skating that I give up. I'm just done. No more skating.
Maybe you just, we need to stick you in an isolated skating rink with not so many people.
No, you just need one of those little walker things that kids have.
I'll do that when I'm 90.
Yeah. I don't think they'll let you on the ice if you're
that. With a walker for just everyday purposes. Maybe they'll stop you there.
When I'm 90, I probably won't even realize I'm walking onto a skating rink.
No. You'll be confused.
Like, where's the ground so slippery?
Or maybe by then, everyone's a bit healthier by the time they're 90.
I am very excited for when I am 90 years old.
Really? Because
if you think about it, 90 years ago was the 1920s. Okay. We didn't have the internet. We, barely had electricity. We didn't have any of the cool stuff that we do now. And in 90 years, we progressed so much that in another 90 years, we're going to be, like, I'm going to have, bionic arms and, like...
Okay, I don't think it's that far.
You never know. Like, think about it. 1920s, a cool new thing was, the radio.
Now we have, do you think that 4G. Technology has kind of plateaued a little bit?
No way.
No?
There's so many, new advancements. Current technology, the things that we were working on, like computers, the hardware has plateaued. But then they're looking into, new technologies to expand to. Like, biocomputing is a new thing right now. Or even molecular computing.
Right.
Where now you can represent ones and zeros at a molecular level.
Yeah.
And that Whoa. Is amazing.
That sounds intense.
I am looking forward to being 90.
But then, if you think about how the next generation of people or scientists are kind of progressing, it's kind of like everybody is just stuck on this generation of technology with their smartphones and their tablets and their whatnot. That, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a skeptic. But, I mean...
Science is definitely, not as cool as it was in, the 60s and 50s.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to see that, just having, little computers flying, swimming around in your bloodstream, just trying to kill off viruses or whatever.
I want to be a robot.
A cyborg.
That is the correct term.
I remember I went to a conference in first year with Kevin Chen, and it was at U of T, and one of the speakers was one of the first cyborgs. He was a prof, I think, at the university.
You linked me. Is it the Swedish guy that can see colors or hear colors or something like that?
No, he actually had I think it's something to do with he had something attached to his glasses or his head or something, and he was just talking. I don't remember much. But it was just that was the first time that I had encountered anyone that was in real life some cyborg thing. I always associated that with comic books or movies where people were a little nuts. But there he was on stage.
Is it this guy with a thing on his, as glasses kind of thing?
Not really.
It kind of looks like Google Glass, but a really primitive version of Google Glass.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. The Swedish thing that you posted on my wall, years ago. Oh, never mind.
Steve Mann.
No. Okay. I'm pretty sure he was a lot older. I wish I could see the list of past speakers. I don't think that's on their website. But,
Oh, never mind. Do you guys still have that poke war going on? Because I remember your poke war was pretty intense.
I don't know. How do I check this?
I was looking on Facebook and I saw that thing that Tim posted.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember you and Sarah had a pretty crazy poke war.
But she doesn't poke back now, because...
What?
Yeah, you never... I'm pretty sure it says...
You know what? I can't see the poke. So where am I supposed to check that?
It should be on your notification somewhere.
Is this still a thing?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
It is. I just poked like Tim like 12 times. And then he stopped responding because he like, peace. I was like, no.
No.
Never.
Why is it a thing?
Why is it what a thing? Pokes?
It was a bigger thing when, you know, Facebook was still
relevant.
I want to say primitive, but you know, when there wasn't much to do.
True.
That's true. It was trying to emulate like MySpace and MSN.
Well, MySpace never had pokes. I guess MSN sort of did. And like that nudge thing.
Nudging.
Oh my gosh. And then like
you sent too many nudges.
That was horrible. The first time it came out, I was so mad.
And then there was these like scripts or whatever that you could just nudge people like, you know, infinite times.
I remember that.
It's hilarious.
Let's just give our MSN conversation a seizure. Yeah.
Are you there? Shake you up a little.
Horrible.
I remember Facebook Messenger when it first came out, like when someone messaged you, it didn't like pop a sound, right? Mm-hmm. And then that was introduced later in an update where if you got a new message, it'd do that bing sound.
Yeah.
And I had no idea for like a full week. I would keep hearing bing sounds and I had no idea where it was coming from. Because it was a silent update and like I actually went crazy that week.
Yeah.
That sounds like such a Kevin thing.
Aliens are here to destroy us. But I put on my tinfoil hat.
That so sounds like Kevin.
That was scary.
Oh my goodness. Okay, recently, I will admit to this, shamelessly, I've been obsessed with, you know, like the quizzes on BuzzFeed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just love these things.
So I noticed.
I've been taking a lot of them.
Every time you post them on Facebook, you don't realize it, but I secretly do the test as well.
They're just super fun. There's a lot of them that I don't understand the references to, but there's my friend posted one, and it's, which Friends character are you?
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm going to do it right now. Okay, you know what? Let's all do it.
Send us a link.
Were you guys both into Friends?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's predict the ones for each of us, and then we'll do the quiz, and we'll see what we get.
So, I think Sarah is a Rachel. Oh, no, not a Rachel. What's the other one? Monica.
Monica.
Okay, I predict Jung as Ross. Or a Joey. Like, it's a Ross or a Joey.
I feel like I'm leaning towards Joey.
A Chandler.
I'm a Chandler?
You're a Chandler.
Okay, so our predictions. I'm a Monica. Okay. Ross is... Max, what do you think?
I thought I would have been Joey.
Max is a Joey? Really? Oh, I see that too.
I don't know. But
I think you're more Chandler than
Maybe Ross or maybe Chandler, I guess. I don't know.
No, Max, I predict Chandler as well.
Okay,
and Kevin is a Ross?
Yeah,
he's a Ross.
Okay, let's do this quiz.
This is hard. I wish I could pick more than one thing. But then again, I can't.
Pick a bird. Why is Big Bird an option? They're all like,
man.
I was reading it, and they're all like normal birds. Peacock, crow, duck, Big Bird. Okay, yeah. I can see Ross. I can like already see it coming.
Oh, man.
Let me see.
You can be found.
Alright, I'm done mine.
Wait, hold on.
Why? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Alright, so, I say Max Chandler, Sarah Monica.
What do you predict for yourself? Or no, what did you predict for yourself?
Ross.
Because you know.
Ross. Jeez, this is hard.
What about you, Max? Who did you think everyone was?
Yeah, I thought Sarah would be Monica. I guess you would be... Ross would... Yeah, Ross would fit you.
I'm not... What about for yourself?
I thought I would be Joey, but I don't know yet. I'm not done. I can't pick a friggin' bird. Like, the one thing I never understood about these quizzes is just like, what do you mean pick one? Do I like? Am I supposed to like it?
Which one takes the best?
Do I like? Okay, fine.
Sarah, what about you? Who do you think me and Max and yourself would be?
You as Ross and Max as Chandler. And for myself, I feel like I channel Phoebe a lot, but probably Monica for myself.
I forgot about Phoebe.
Phoebe. Don't forget about Phoebe. don't you really dare.
I was always a Chandler Joey fan.
Okay, last question. I'm on the last question.
Some of these questions are kind of pretty like directed towards one
character. It's scrolling down. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you kind of see it after a while,
especially the movie one, Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I feel like I don't know, for the most part, because I've done so many of these BuzzFeed quizzes, I feel like they do a better job than the other websites that do these kind of quizzes. Like, it's just way too obvious there. There was a video that I watched today from World of the Orange, and they found a quiz that was for, like, 12-year-old girls. And the quiz was... Hold on, let me pull it up. It's like, are you hot, sexy, funny, or normal?
What?
Or ugly?
Wait, for 15-year-old?
12. No, for, like... 12-year-old girls. And
12-year-old?
We can do that one after.
Okay. Yeah, are we done with this? Are we done with this one? Everyone finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Sarah, are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. So, Kevin.
I got Ross.
Okay.
Read the description.
You can't get laid without getting someone pregnant.
Jokes.
What about you, Max?
I got Chandler. Bing!
Yeah. Called it.
What's the description?
It says, well done, you're a funny one with a heart of gold. No one really knows what you do for work, but you can rock the mysteriousness.
Wait, why am I the only one that gets, like, the shitty-ass description?
Oh, man.
What are you, Sarah?
I got Monica.
Pretty much broke this quiz.
Oh, God, yeah. You're a little uptight, but you're a great cook, a great host, and a great friend.
Nice.
Freaking hilarious. We know each other so well.
Yeah, I know.
Let's do the 12-year-old
one. Okay.
Wait, what's it supposed to tell you?
Okay, so the quiz is called, and this has no capitalization, no end punctuation, am I hot, cute, sexy, normal, or ugly? So if you go through and you read the questions, I would like to know who wrote this quiz, first
so
of all.
So pretty much you just read the questions.
The bias is just astonishing.
All right. Before we do the test, we should do our predictions.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be sexy.
I'm normal. I'm normal.
I'm going to be cute.
Oh my goodness. Let's do this thing. Okay, I can't even answer number two. Like, doesn't make sense.
I recommend you watch the video afterwards. It's actually hilarious.
This is a video? Okay.
Wait, this is for 12-year-old girls?
Well, the quiz itself, if you just read it, I'll link the video as well. So
they spelled course wrong. Of course.
Of course. Oh, man. Okay, I'll just...
I think I'm gonna get cancer from eating this.
I can't even. Okay. Okay, this isn't obvious at all which one you're answering and which one you end up getting.
I don't understand. There's five choices, right? And there's sometimes for the questions there's only four options.
Does
it make sense?
Like, number 9, what's your favorite sport? And there's like so many. A million options.
Why? Oh man.
I love
that. I'm feeling we're not the target audience for
this. Oh, totally. I really love number 10. Do you know anyone that has a crush on you? And one of the answers is, yeah, a couple, maybe three. Like, it's just so specific.
A couple is two. Oh my goodness. I can't take.
This is so stupid.
Oh man.
I'm done.
I don't even know what to answer because it's like
I'm done.
This doesn't make sense. I got it. Okay,
just channel your really? Inner 12-year-old girl.
This is hard.
Dig deep.
Damn. Okay. Okay.
All right, Max. What do you get?
I got sexy.
Oh yeah. As expected.
I was like, what does this mean?
I also
mean?
Got sexy.
OMG.
Me too, what the fuck? No wonder there were only like some women with four.
Can we just, you know what? I don't even want to, when this happens, I always want to go back and like purposely get one of the answers. But
let's try it. Let's see if we can do it. I'm gonna go for ugly.
Okay,
this is easy. One of the answers is no way, I'm way too ugly.
Oh my goodness. Okay. How are you supposed to get? Okay, maybe that one.
This quiz is just horrific.
What?
What?
Did you get sexy again?
I got incorrect.
What?
It says my category incorrect.
Wait, I got it too. What does this mean? Gosh. I'm so sorry, honey. ... I know that you have some inner beauty in you. ... You just don't show it. You'll be there sometime soon, though.
Oh,
THO. Oh, why don't we just share these results to Facebook?
I know, right?
So you're either sexy or incorrect. Based on this quiz.
What is it correct?
Oh, I like how they give you the HTML for it.
Yeah, just in case you wanted to post on your MySpace.
My personal portfolio page.
No, you gotta put it on your MySpace. Gotta style it out for everybody to look at, you know.
Anyways, well, from a website called nerdtests.com.
Ha ha ha.
But I love these quizzes.
You're so stupid, oh my goodness.
Well, in my... I'm impressed that we got each other right for the friends quiz.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's pretty fun.
Do 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 do.
There's a quiz called what kind of bird are you?
What?
I don't like birds.
One of the questions is do you mate for life?
What?
Don't ask me. Another question is choose a cloud. Do they have pictures of clouds?
Oh man.
Oh dear. All of these quizzes. We should write one. And make our friends do it.
Are these like user these aren't user submitted, are they? On it's all BuzzFeed staff. So I guess they make it.
It would be really easy to implement like a user created quiz thing though.
Yeah.
Oh no. I feel that now, like after doing like more web development, every time I go to a website I kinda have to think about the back end. And I don't want to.
I totally get that though. I like doing, you know, like behind the scenes work. That's my access pass to everything. I feel weird about, you know, let me rephrase this. I don't like going to events unless I'm doing something for the event.
Why?
Because I just feel weird.
Enjoy yourself.
No, can't do that. It's impossible. If I don't have a purpose to go to the event, and I'm sorry, but the purpose can't just be to hang out with friends. I need to have a job or else I'm very reluctant to go. So that was the only reason why I went to the charity ball this year at York, because I had a job to do.
Did you like plan it?
Yeah, I helped plan it, but I was running the social media, so I actually didn't end up doing much. Because, you know, there wasn't much to tweet. No one was tweeting about the event, and if that were the case, then I would be, you know, retweeting and managing that all night, but that wasn't really a thing. So the first half of the event, I was stressed out because I wasn't able to do my job.
Yeah.
And then the second half, I hung out with friends and had a drink, so it was okay. But yeah, I don't like events.
I get what you mean. I don't think there, like right now, at my stage in my life, there's anything that would motivate me to go to an event. No matter how much I liked it, it's just a downside of waking up and like putting on clothes and actually going to the event is way too much work.
So are you like, you don't wear clothes normally?
I wear the bare minimum when I'm at home.
Yeah.
Even when I go to work, I purposely ask about the dress code and go for the bare minimum.
Oh yeah.
That's fair.
Nobody's called me out on it, so I think I'm safe.
Our office cultures. No.
Is this supposed
go ahead.
To be like, is this supposed to be like casual, like business casual or something?
Yeah. Actually, there's no really strict rule on it. As long as you don't wear like, I don't know, like a bikini, you're
pajamas
fine.
Or something.
Flip flops.
Yeah. I wear sweatpants and a baseball cap.
No.
Oh,
okay.
Like a t-shirt.
That's pretty casual. My...
Especially in our field.
Wait, but you're like, cause you're always just in like your own cubicle thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're never out in like a open space where guests would go by or visitors.
Yeah, rarely.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
The only time I'm actually where a customer can see me is like if I'm going to the washroom.
And then they'll just say, no, that's a hobo that uses a washroom sometimes. So they can cover that up.
That's the resident hobo.
Yeah, he just lives down the block.
Have you guys, have you seen the website where they show you pictures and is either a hobo or a computer science professor? It's like a quiz, and you have to guess which one is which. And it's actually a lot harder than you think.
I've seen hobos or hipsters.
Oh yeah, I've seen that one.
I love those, but I've never seen that one.
Prof or hobo? Yeah, I mean.
And I've never seen a computer science prof.
Oh, you got that.
Have you seen a hobo? Whoa. Oh, man. This is great. Okay, hobo. I'm going to take this quiz. This guy looks like he could be from Lord of the Rings.
Which one?
They should have Hobbit as an answer.
I got 50%.
I recognize one of these guys.
Do you?
One of them is Linus Torvald, isn't he?
I got 7 out of 10.
Oh, no, sorry, not Linus Torvald. I got 1 out of 10.
Why are you so bad at this?
What?
I don't know.
I got 7 out of 10, you guys.
Well, I guess you're just better at recognizing hobos and professors.
Okay, they should at least, like, it's like, because after they give you the answers, right, it's like hobo, like, they could at least give you their...
I don't know which ones you got wrong.
No, I mean, like, because it's like prof, Bill Unruh is a Canadian physicist at UBC. Yeah. It's just like, you know, what about these hobos? They probably accomplished something.
Nope, he's just a hobo.
There was another similar one, but it's a bit darker. It's like
sausages or legs? Hot dogs or legs?
Child molester or computer scientist?
Oh no!
What are you?
I'll look it up,
dude. Your search history has been flagged by the NSA.
Oh dear.
What, child molester? What?
I can't find it, but I remember seeing it somewhere.
Cause that probably got flagged.
Yeah, I don't think there's a what kind of child molester are you?
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's like Quiz Farm or something. I think these are like...
That sounds sketchy.
I think
don't
these
click it.
Okay, these are really weird. Okay, yeah, no. This is really weird.
What did you look up?
Child molester or professor quiz.
Yeah. I can't remember where I saw it, but...
And it's just a whole bunch of like news articles about professors being charged with child molestation. Which there's a lot of, apparently.
Ew.
Yeah.
When do profs have access to children?
I don't even know how do they lure kids?
Google it.
I know.
How to lure kids. <Shut up. laughs>
So screwed.
So, speaking about kids, let's talk about kids' books again.
Yes.
Have you guys ever read Polar Express?
Yes.
No, I've never read it. I've watched the movie, and that's the first time I actually heard about the story.
Mr. Shim was obsessed with it.
Yeah. Didn't we go see it as a class?
I think so. He was obsessed with that, The whole thing, even the productions, he's like, oh yeah, Tom Hanks played all these characters, and well, he liked to be a know-it-all. I remember that.
I remember.
Is that who you take after, Kevin? Because you want to know everything. You know every bit of trivia.
Trivia keeps me sane. It's like I have a really bad memory, but for some reason I can just remember trivia pretty well. But besides that, nope.
So would stuff that you need to know for tests, will that count as trivia?
Nope. I'm very bad at taking tests.
Well, what if you next time thought of it as trivia? Maybe that would help.
See, I tried that, but I just can't. Like, once something is kind of like, once I know that, like, I'm being tested on it, it stops being fun for me. Just becomes work. But, like, if it was a course that, like, I don't care about my mark, or if there was no test, then I actually start remembering. Which is really shitty for school.
It is. I totally feel you for that one. But I'm hardly ever tested anymore. All my assignments, all my marks come from my papers, so.
That's what I hate about the academic system. They put so much emphasis on testing. So it's not really testing, like, how smart you are. They just test how good you are at memorizing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
It sucks. Because I suck at memorizing.
It's kind of how it is now. Because they kind of write tests to their lessons. And then, you know, if you're not mm-hmm. good at what they taught you, then, yeah, kind of screwed.
Mm-hmm. Sucks, but that's academia for ya. They just need a way to trap you so they can take your money.
Yeah.
And then,
didn't we have, like, a big rant about this? Something like, we were talking about, like, the ivory tower. And I remember you got really mad about it.
Ivory tower.
Yeah.
There was a time.
It's like academia where, like, the people up above kind of look down on everyone below.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, I remember my friend and I, we talked about a bullshit pyramid. And the story of university is just that. The world of academia is just one giant bullshit tower. So, or bullshit pyramid. So you got all the students at the bottom and they, you know, work their way up and they do their master's and their PhD. And the entire time, especially in liberal arts, you're bullshitting, you know? How much bullshit can I extract from this piece of literature and talk about it and convince other people that it's a fascinating analysis or fascinating perspective to look at this? Because all they're asking for is a new perspective, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you get to that point and then you keep going up and eventually you get your PhD and you become a prof and then you're the one at the very top spreading the bullshit down the tower, down the pyramid. So you're just... That's
you can just imagine like one person at the top just taking a dump and just like kind of flowing to the sides. That's pretty much what it is.
Okay, see, I knew I had an overactive imagination, but I never went that far.
Like a cheerleader pyramid.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's gross.
So apparently the Giver movie is coming out August 2014.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I remember that's been in works for a really long time. And I'm very excited for it because I love The Giver. And some big names are in it. Like Alexander Skarsgård is in it. The dude from True Blood.
Yeah.
Vampires represent.
No. Kevin, you're Voldemort.
Well, Taylor Swift is going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I can't help it. I'm just really pale.
And yet you get a tan on pale skin.
That still looks super pale, but once the shirt's off, then
you can actually see.
Just blinded.
You guys should see my legs. My legs are like transparent.
You know what? You know how I remember when I talked to my white friends, right? And they're always complaining about how white they are and how they like reflect light and stuff. And I never used to think much about it, right? Until I recently had to take a group picture and post it. So obviously got the picture and I put it into Photoshop to just like, you know, lighten it and stuff. And I can't do anything because the one white kid in the picture is literally glowing as it is. And then I try to adjust things and not do anything too fancy, right? So I'm just like adjusting like overall things. And it's just, he either gets brighter and just like glows and his aura just gets bigger.
He's a ghost.
Like everyone looks black because I just try to neutralize. So I'm like, okay, screw it. Just upload the way it is.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I never thought much about it until I had to edit a picture with white people in it. Yep.
Oh, that's hilarious. I think one time when a whole bunch of us at Waterloo took a picture, and then in it at nighttime, and someone had the flash on, and then like the flash reflected off everyone's glasses. So you just see like glare off of everybody's face except for like two people who weren't wearing glasses. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh gosh. I remember, you know there's like other people with different color eyes and they always get red eye?
Heterochromia?
No, I mean like on camera. Especially when the flash goes off.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Oh,
yeah, and it's, yeah. Like, you know, there's always, like, their red eye corrections and stuff. And, mm-hmm. like, you know, for a while, too, that I never thought that was a problem because I always took pictures with Asian people. And because we have darker eyes, like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then I take pictures with my other friends and it's always, like, red eye. It's like, why is this happening?
Right, so I found that picture that Max was talking about, because I remember it as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, I'm just gonna comment on Tim and Tony look like they have laser eyes.
Do you know what red eye is?
Oh, my gosh.
Red eye is when the light from the flash hits the back of your cornea and bounces back out.
Directly?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Wow. That is crazy.
I might be bullshitting. I can't remember exactly.
It sounds really gross. That's interesting.
So that's essentially just looking into your eyeball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's why, like, albino people have red eyes, right? Because they don't have color in their irises. And your irises have blood in it, so it's red. That's what I heard.
Really? I have no idea.
Me neither.
I never took the time to stare into an albino person's eyes because I always try to not stare at them. Seriously, like, I've seen like a total of maybe like I've seen like a handful of people who were like albino, and they were like the black albino people. So I was just like, oh, they're not supposed to be super white, but I'm not gonna look at them because that's gonna be mean.
Is that a thing? Like, a lot of albino people are black.
I'm pretty sure there are Asian albinos. There's like it. Like albino doesn't. It's not racist. You're not gonna find albino to be like only a certain type of race. But like, yeah. I mean, it might be an occurrence on like. More for one race than the other, but like for black people, you can tell, like, because you know they got like their curly hair, right?
Oh yeah.
And then their huge lips, and just like, that's not a white person. But they're super white.
Albinos have red eyes, right? Because there's no pigment.
Yeah, I think so.
That's cool. That's Have you guys seen an albino lion?
No.
It looks so cool. It's my favorite animal in the world. Because it's so beautiful. It looks like a...
it looks pretty cool.
I've been
cool.
thinking about getting a dog.
Oh, yeah? And,
the dog I want is like a pure white, big, fluffy dog that kind of looks like an albino lion.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. And then I found $5.
Oh, dear.
Way to go.
Okay, so I just... Urban Dictionary's word of the day today is portmanteau. So it's a word spawned by combining bro with another word, the end result leaving both words separately identifiable without severely altering the sound of either. So brogramming, broatmeal, brobulrone, crossbro, rambro, broverruled, Nintendo. What?
What's your favorite portman, bro? Do you guys have one? Oh. There's a whole list of them.
I don't know.
I'll send you the list.
Yeah,
my favorites.
What the Poseidon. Hell? What is bromosexual?
Bromosexual?
Is that something like bromance?
Brocialism.
A guy who is bromosexual is totally straight. In fact, he will punch you in the face if you say that he is gay. He's so totally straight that he has sex with tons of chicks. Sure, the bro might be in his room with him, maybe videotaping him.
Okay.
That's kind of... It's getting a new level of weird.
That got really dark.
That was really... it reminds me of that bro video from Derek Comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one. He mentions it in one of his songs.
Did he?
Yeah.
Which song?
In one of his songs, like, one of his lyrics mentions his bro rape video.
Oh, okay. I may have heard it. I don't remember. It's Childish Gambino, by the way. Sarah, if you didn't know.
What?
The person we're talking about. The rapper.
Okay.
Romance. Yeah.
Alright, so in his song called Difference, he has a line that mentions bro rape.
Okay. I don't think I listened to it, but...
Was this like a controversy at one point?
Like, the song?
Yeah. Because of that.
So. No. I think Childish Gambino's songs are so, like, obviously, like, out there, and it's obvious that he's acting, that they're not really controversial.
I just feel like I've heard of something, but... I may be wrong. I'm really terrible with following pop culture.
He has a new album out, which I didn't really like.
The internet one? Because the internet... Yeah.
Yep.
It was alright. He had some tracks on there, but overall it wasn't that great of an album. I don't think.
He's one of those artists that like I really, really wanna like, but I just can't. Like just the style of his rapping and like his lyrics, I just can't get into it.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. It's not a Kendrick Lamar or a, you know, Schoolboy Q. Okay, Kanye West is a whole nother level now. Like, you've listened to his music progressing. Like, it used to be about the hood. Now it's all about money, and getting dressed in really expensive clothes.
Maybach keys. I wear my heart on my sleeve.
Not even Maybach keys. He's like name dropping. Shoot, I can't even think off the top of my head now. But he's trying to get himself involved in like the fashion industry and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking of Margiela?
Well, there's that, but that's like that was him and Kanye. Him and Kanye. Him and Jay-Z. Him and Jay-Z.
Niggas in Paris.
Yes.
Or I like the Chicas in Paris. Yes, Paris.
For always and forever.
Yes. Haven't you guys been talking about a sequel?
We wanted to do one.
The past like year.
Nah, it hasn't been that long. It was only like last term when Harry was like, "Yo, we should do a thing. We should do another video, right? But do it for like, you know, thrift shop." But then, whenever we like, okay, like whenever Jackie and I wanted to do it, Harry couldn't do it. Because he was doing something or whatever. So then we never got together to do it. So yeah, what's dad will never, I don't know. He's like a ghost. Like he's not on Facebook anymore.
He's not on Twitter either.
He's not on Twitter anymore? He was on Twitter like for a bit.
I saw him
on Twitter for a bit.
So
and
you're,
then
like, planning to work for Secret Services or something?
I don't know. He's out of Mississauga or something, but I think he should be back in school right now.
I don't know. Everyone I know that knows Harry like kind of noticed that he disappeared.
Yeah, see, he's still on Twitter. In fact, he tweeted on the 15th, which was on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
It is a picture of a wine bottle with the cork inside.
Okay.
They're gonna have fun drinking that.
Well, now we're all off to stalk Harry.
Yes. Most interesting man on the mentally on vacation.
Well. This man. That's interesting. There's also the one person I haven't seen after we graduated was Eric Jang.
I see him.
I saw him
pretty often.
I haven't seen him at all, and he like completely disappeared from all the social medias.
That's true.
He was never on social medias anyway.
He was on Facebook for a while.
Yeah, he was on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I like, see, I always remember him as the one that was always 24/7 on MSN.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he's nowhere to be found.
I guess he's on Skype now, probably.
Or League of Legends.
All these people playing League of Legends.
I think it's really died down. Like, not a lot of the usual League of Legends crowd kind of like went away from it.
Has it though?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, worldwide, probably no. There's probably like at its peak right now, but in our group, a lot of people just stopped playing.
What are people playing now?
We're playing the life game.
Oh, best game.
Oh, I hate it. So much grind.
Can't even level up, man. Can't even level up that quick.
Gamers like London are like unicorns.
Really?
Like, I know one gamer, and she's one of my really good friends in class. She's like a super geeky chick, and she's always gaming and stuff. But other than her, you know how like there's those Facebook pages, it's like spotted at Glendon.
Yeah.
So people submit anonymous messages, and whoever's running the page, they post it. And occasionally, like very like once in a while, you'll see someone post with a gaming invitation. So they're like, "Oh, hey, anyone down to game like this weekend or something?" And they like post their names for whatever game it is. But yeah, gamers like London are total unicorns. Never see them.
Yeah, we have way too many people here that just plays games. Like, I remember first year when, like, I guess League of Legends was getting popular. You'd just see, or not even just League of Legends, but, like, you see, like, an Asian person sitting some random place, whether, like, you know, laundry area, food area, whatever. They have their computer up, and they're playing, like, StarCraft or League of Legends or whatever. Like, there's always somebody doing that.
It's all crazy. Over. I think my brother actually, he expressed a concern about that because he's not a gamer.
Yeah.
So he's like, yo, what happens if I'm not a gamer and I go to Waterloo? When he was trying to make a decision about his university, I'm like, you know, you'll still find friends.
Is he? Do you know if he's part of the DJ club?
I have no idea. I don't think he's part of anything right now. I've been telling him to find something to join, but he's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. But he hasn't.
Because I know we have a DJ club, and they help. Or, like, they get together and, you know, learn about beat producing and whatnot.
Are they any good?
I don't know. I've never been to one, but, like, from what they do on Clubs Day, it's pretty... Some of them look pretty pretty legit.
Hmm.
I've been looking for clubs to join, but I haven't found a good one.
Let's start either.
Like, the ones that I'm actually interested in are, like, dead... Like, they have no meetings or no members.
Like what?
And all the other ones are kind of eh.
Like what?
I wanted to join a Style Society.
Isn't that still up?
They have, like, one meeting per term, and then they do their lookbook, and that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't do anything last term?
Me and Jackie joined, and they only had one meeting. Oh. And they had, like, one event, and then after that, they were, like,
nothing.
Quiet for the rest of the term. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it'll be better for spring or summer.
Yeah. No, we did join in the fall.
Oh, yeah.
See,
start a club.
I don't know about starting, though.
Start a club.
Waterloo doesn't have that, like,
because it's not that easy. Okay, Sarah, how do you... If you wanted a club at Glendon, like, how did you start your Crepo club?
I got the forms, and then I talked to some people, and then I had to get 15 people's names and emails and student numbers, and then I had to write a constitution, which I outsourced to my vice president, and we put it all into the program, and they're like, oh, hey.
Well, who did you hand it off to?
David.
Oh, okay.
It's an online... But it's an online thing that goes to Kiel, but the thing is, like, I know pretty much everyone that works on that on every level, so.
Right.
But, like, you know, we still had to do the whole thing with getting 15 people's names and student numbers and writing a constitution and stuff.
Right. Well, like, I think for something like at your campus, because everyone, I guess, you know, you kind of know everybody that would be interested because, you know, you're starting it with people that you know, right? I think with, like, some place like Waterloo is just like a dead place where interests go to die.
Because... Yeah, I guess it would be different though, right?
Yeah.
That's really sad.
It is very sad. Like, okay.
Well, I understand how it would be different.
Yeah.
Because, like, how much of your school is on like, co-op?
Well, pretty much everybody. Like, it'd be hard to find someone not on co-op, but, like, there are people who aren't on co-op, but, like, most people that you meet are on co-op. Yeah, so it's hard to upkeep a club that'll only go on for a term, right? Because, let's say you do start up a club, and it has to, and the stupid thing is, like, it has to go through our student union, right? They have to approve it. They have to be like, oh, you have to have a, you know, at least this many people have this constitution written up, you know, that stuff. But then you have to approve it with our student union. I don't know how that goes through, but, like, you know, if you get a legit club going, I guess people, they'll approve it. But the hard thing to do now, after you get it approved, is, you know, get interest, get people gathered, you know, get something productive done, right? That's the hard part to do, because people, you know, they'll be interested for a little bit, and then once, you know, exams pick up, whatever, priorities change, and then it's just hard to upkeep that club.
Well, right? I think that's the same struggle at any school. It's the same thing at Glendon, right? But I guess it's a little different for us because we have a longer time frame.
Yeah.
We usually go from September to April, rather, whereas you guys are just a one semester. So
yeah,
that makes sense. But the struggle is the same.
The struggle is real.
It's too real.
But yeah. Like, I haven't done anything with my club this year other than establish it and make a Facebook group. I haven't done anything else.
Don't you get people together for idea creating or whatever?
Nope. I haven't done that yet. I'm planning to. I'm talking with people about organizing like workshops, because I had to do a little, you know, investigation into who these people actually were that were joining the club, the group. So it just looks more like people that like to do it, but they want to learn more about how to do it.
Right.
So I want to organize like a video vlogging, another like YouTube workshop, and then have my friend do it like a photography one.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully we'll get to do one, at least one of those things before exams, but we'll see.
What was the name that you eventually decided on? I remember you had a few options.
It's called Crépo, which is it's a mix between creativité and potential. So you could pronounce it like Crépo or Crépot, doesn't really matter. But yeah, I remember someone from my office, she kept pushing digital natives, because it was something that she saw in an article about our generation. So she's like, digital natives, like, you guys are always online, blah, blah. And like, you know, when you hear it that way, it sounds really like cheesy,
yeah,
and corny kind of. But then, you know, like JackScap, like Jack and Finn, yeah, on YouTube, the twins, and they their studio is Digital Native Studios, and it looks so cool when they do it. And then, but then for me to like try to own that and put it as a name of a club, like, that just sounded really cheesy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we went with Crépo because it combines the French and English, and bilingualism is a big thing at Glendon, so. So yeah. But I hate having to do that, figuring out names for things.
We had a really hard time coming up with Stealthy Chair.
I still watch
that. It seemed like a really great name at the time, but now that I say it now, what were we thinking?
Well, I think you can still go with it if you have a pretty, like, if you use it enough times, I think it will work. But I mean, because in my mind, I had like some sort of animation thing, kind of like the Pixar. You know how Pixar has that lamp?
Mm-hmm.
It comes out, stomps the eye. Yeah, kind of like that, but with a chair. But it's not jumping, you know.
Doesn't that lamp have a name?
I think so.
Hold on, I'll look it up. Probably. I remember it was some weird name. Called Luxo Junior.
Huh. So what's the original Luxo?
Oh, wait, no. Wait.
I think that's the short film.
Oh yeah, that's but the characters are Luxo Jr. and Luxo Sr.
Oh, okay. So we're coming up to our 2 hour mark.
Yeah. How is your recording going?
It's still running? Yeah, it's still going.
Alright, cool. I'm at almost, what, 1 hour 50?
Yeah.
Alright, that's good. Everything should be in sync and ready to upload.
We're just ended there. So yeah, that was a great talk about children's books.
We didn't talk about any of them. Alright, let's spend the last I don't know, like 5 minutes just doing a children's book. Just so we can call it, we can say that we talked about a children's book. What was your favorite children's book growing up? Anybody? Sarah?
As I frantically look at my bookshelf for answers. honestly, you know what? I really loved like as an actual child, not preteen, because that's when I read Harry Potter. But I'd be missing the first 10 years of reading. I really liked Roald Dahl books.
Which one?
James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, that one was
good. One of my favorites. I think especially because of the movie itself. I also really, really love the movie. Mm-hmm. So that one was really cool. Even though he was hanging out with a bunch of bugs in a giant fruit. That's kind of horrifying.
I watched it recently. It was on Netflix.
Really? I'm totally watching it soon. I haven't seen
the movie. I remember when I watched the movie for the first time, we borrowed it from the library. We borrowed the VCR from the library.
Nice.
And I wish that was still a thing. That was such a like cool concept that you could go to the library and you can like pick up a children's movie to borrow for a week.
Mm-hmm.
You can still borrow children's movies. There's DVDs now.
Yeah, but they don't have like this. Nobody really goes to the library anymore.
No. No,
you don't. I'm pretty sure there are still kids going to the library.
My dad always takes my brother to the library every single Saturday, but if you're left on your own, you wouldn't go to the library, especially if you have internet connection.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember what the very first website you went to on the internet was? Because I remember when I was a kid, like my parents would forbid me from going onto the internet, and like the very first time I was on the internet was like when I was like 7, 8 years old, and I remember distinctly that the very first site I went to was Neopets.
That was definitely a big thing.
Yeah.
That was definitely a big part of... But I don't remember my first website, but I remember when, you know, I moved back to Toronto in grade 4 and 5, and everyone had the messenger, the email addresses. It was completely new to me because we never did that in Peterborough. So we would talk at lunchtime and arrange a time... to go into giant group chat rooms with the entire class, so we like hang out together all day and then go home at 7 o'clock. We'd be in a giant chat.
Wow,
that's so cool.
Yeah,
I missed that. We should bring that back.
So I remember doing that a lot. And no, but you know what, I remember more like the first YouTube videos I watched with my brother, which was the Chinese boys doing Backstreet Boys lip syncing.
I remember.
I was talking to Tony about that, and I wanted to do a version of that with Tony. I offered to buy him a Yao Ming jersey just to do
it. No, Tony has to be the guy in the back playing Counter-Strike.
Yeah. Yes. That's what he said he wanted to do.
See, but those, I distinctly remember those being like my first YouTube videos that I ever watched. But then Carol blew my mind in high school when she told me that those were never originally uploaded to YouTube. They were uploaded to a Chinese website and someone re-uploaded, and that just blew my mind for some reason. But I remember that more than the first website that I ever visited.
I remember when Funny Junk used to be okay and not just reposts of pictures.
That was great.
Yeah. And then there used to be some scary stuff, and then I used to scare myself silly with that crap.
Did you yell really loud?
Yes, I yelled really loud because I had no idea what was going on. Like, it was like one of those where like they purposely blur the picture and they're like, oh, look for this thing, and I actually stuck my face into the screen and this like scary face pops up. I'm like, holy crap, and then I ran. Yeah.
That's great. Oh, I remember Funny Junk.
Yeah, but back to topic of books.
What happened to that?
I think one book for me, well, it's like a chain of books, but you know the television series What's with Andy?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, what? Okay, well, it was on Teletoons, and there was this series called What's with Andy, and it's basically this kid pulling pranks and stuff, and it was actually like based off of this book called I think it was called What's with Andy. But yeah, like,
that would make sense.
Or like, no, sorry, it wasn't called What's with Andy. I mean, let me just quickly Google this.
I got it. It's called Just
series. Yeah, it was the just this, just that, something like that. Just shocking. And I read, like, yeah, but then the author was Andy Griffith, right? And then he had a whole bunch of these Just Kidding books, and they were really hilarious. And then I read more, like, these other books, one of which called The Day My Butt Went Psycho, and Zombie Butts from Uranus, and Buttageddon, or something like that. And it was just like this, like, they're literally just butts walking around invading the whole town, and they were like stick to people's faces. It turned out like, yeah, it was pretty hilarious. And that I think that was like one of the things that gave me my humor, I guess.
But
just crude humor.
I remember reading those books as a kid and thinking like, oh my god, this is brilliant. This guy is a genius.
Oh, man.
And now when I read them, I'm just like, the day my butt went psycho.
Yeah.
Well, now that I look at these covers, book covers, I totally know what you're talking about. I remember reading these.
Yeah.
So, Kevin.
Yeah.
What was your favorite book?
I was really into detective books growing up. So, like, the whole Encyclopedia series. I read, what's the girl detective? Nancy Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I read Nancy Drew, but I secretly liked the Hardy Boys better. And, pretty much anything that had to do with, like, mystery or, choose your own adventure books, I was really into as well.
Oh, I really like those Goosebumps.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what was that?
Goosebumps.
Oh no, I don't remember if I like was ever interested in them, but I don't think I was.
I love
them. I never liked those because those always made you like turn to a different page, right?
Yeah,
and that pissed me off. Like you got to the end of the page, it's like turn to page 83, and you're on page 4. I'm like, no, I don't want to.
Goosebumps was like that.
Yeah, they had some like choose your own adventure books.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd always get those, because it was so fun. Like, the first time reading it, I was like, I don't think I'm reading this right. Like, it made no sense. But then I read the bottom, I was like, oh, go to this page. I was like, oh, it's a story. I get it. That's clever.
I never liked them. I never liked the sense. They always gave me the sense that I was missing out if I didn't choose the other one.
Me too.
But so, then, like, I would end up just, like, choosing all of them. In the end, just reading everything.
I would go back and go through every single possibility.
Yeah.
And that still happens to this day. To this day, I still cannot, like, leave something unfinished. Like, if I start something, I have to look at every single possibility and, like, go through all the paths. Or, I cry and myself to sleep. Like, especially with, like, games. Like, Assassin's Creed game that I'm working on right now.
Yeah,
I'm working on it because
are you gonna like finish everything?
Become work for me. I'm going for 100%.
Really?
Oh man.
See,
I don't even know the nature of that game, and that sounds impressive to me. So.
I put in 30. I have it open right now. 35 hours, and I am 60% done.
Whoa!
Holy crap, dude. Isn't like 60% like? Okay, if you finish the game, how much would you get?
Like 40%.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because you gotta get all the collectibles, you gotta explore all the areas and finish all the side missions.
I think that's what turned me off from, like, the second one. I was just like, oh, I'm too tired of this. I don't want to keep running around.
But it's that feeling of, like, accomplishment that you get. No matter, like, even if it's, like, bullshitty, stupid, the most retarded accomplishment ever, but it still makes me feel... okay.
Whatever makes you happy. Well, detective books.
Encyclopedia Brown, Sherlock Holmes, anything that had a picture of a guy with a hat and a magnifying glass. I read that shit like cover to cover 5 times.
insane.
I think this is really interesting, right? It kind of traces back to who we've become as people, yeah. Our favorite books. It's really interesting.
I still remember a few facts from those books. Like, if you spin a hard-boiled egg, it balances on one end. But if it's a raw egg, then it...
It like, wobbles.
Yeah, it wobbles.
My 9-year-old brother told me that, and it blew my mind. Like, last month, he told me this. Because he reads the kid encyclopedia books, right? He just takes in all these facts and stuff.
Wait, Encyclopedia Brown?
No. Oh, just like actual encyclopedias.
I used to read the dictionary.
Okay.
Like, we had a picture dictionary that my mom bought us, and I couldn't go on the internet at that point, so I just get bored and just start looking up words.
I don't know what it is, but maybe I'm just really terribly lazy, but I always hate, like, flipping through books to look for something. You know, like, looking up a word in the dictionary or flipping to the page from those choose-your-own-adventure books. Like, I just hate that so much.
Control-F.
Control-F, where is it?
Exactly. I don't know. So that's one of the reasons why I wouldn't read the dictionary or use the dictionary at all.
I do find myself doing that more now. If I, like, have a physical thing I have to read, I just, like, I can't do it. I have to look, like, I need that find function, I need that, like, scrolling function, and automatic flip to page. I hate paper.
We are the new generation.
We're the digital natives.
Exactly. See, it sounds so weird when you hear it, but then you see it scrolling through your screen, and you're like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Alright, so we talked about books.
The last 10 minutes.
So I think that's a good wrap up for episode
official
one. The other one was episode 0.
Episode 1.
Okay.
This is episode 1.
Sure.
Then which one? What was the ones we did before?
That was episode like minus
episode one. Pilot. I don't know.
That was fetus.
Yeah.
Alright, so episode 1 is officially over.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Good job, Ross and Chandler. I really want to. Let's predict one for Carol and make her do it, because she's like an unofficial member of.
Rachel.
Yeah. Alright, when she comes back from Paris, then we'll make her.
Thank you for listening to the very first Dinosaur Party podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed it, and we will make sure to make a new podcast and put that out sometime soon. Maybe not soon, but sometime between now and before we all die. Bye!